All right. Let's do whatever this is going to be.
Yeah, okay. Who knows, man?
Talkin' Audio.
It's graceful and beautiful and physical and angry all at the same time.
Were you idiot? Your mind would cave in and your heart would explode within your chest.
This is going to be a shame.
Here we go!
What's happening, everybody? It is episode 1286 of the Tall Can Audio Podcast, coming to you from our studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. Matt Robinson, Rob Christie, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, buddy. It's fantastic, Matt. It's a midweek show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a midweek show. We're drinking beers in the afternoon.
Where does the midpoint hit in a did you have Monday off?
I did.
Yeah, you fucking municipal seat moistener, I believe was the... we had Bunday in here for the Tuesday morning show, and we were sort of going back and forth. It sort of felt like, government workers, schools, is that about it?
Yeah, any
banks,
kind of banks.
Banks open, closed.
You know what, banks.
LCBO.
Open on Monday.
Okay.
But not open on Sunday.
Yeah.
Or Good Friday. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Don't get them both.
Right.
I want all four myself, but you don't get them.
There was an incident at the Robinson family Easter that saw, to his credit, my brother-in-law, the oft-referenced, seldom complimented
black sheep of the family.
Yeah. Oh, not family.
Oh, he's not actually born in the family. Sorry about that.
Make the late night trek back from the cottage back home to pick up some stuff. That was, I guess, for the kids, they'd forgotten a bag that was going to be hidden around the cottage.
Mm.
But what I also found out was there was another piece that was for my sister and my other sister, right? Like his wife had something planned for her and her sister that was those hollowed out chocolate bunnies.
Yes.
You bite the ears off and you fill it with vodka. Have a good Easter.
Wow.
And so I'm not certain if it was just for the kids that he'd made the trip back, but I think she was pretty irritated that was the bag that was left behind, the thing that was going to make her her Easter Sunday a little
bit. Are you drinking out of the ears?
Not out of the ear. No,
you're drinking out of the
rest
body.
Of the bunny. Yeah, now it's open, right? There's an area you can pour the vodka in.
Are they passing it back and forth?
No, there's one each.
Okay.
Not two each, or like not one for the rest of us.
Yeah.
So.
Two is an interesting number with a family with three kids, Matt.
It really is. So we'll get into this a little later on. I went down on Sunday afternoon to game two, Jenny's and Colts. And so I came back wondering what type of scene I might be arriving back to. Everybody seemed tired. A couple of late nights.
Drinking. I love day drinking.
Yeah.
I don't love being hungover early.
By 5 p.m.
Early in the evening. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That to me is love day drinking, you know, me and Sheryl Crow. Love
sure.
A good beer buzz early in the morning.
We can get into some of that in a second, but first we should get to the pints.
Pints!
I'll normally do it twice.
Pints!
Yeah, okay. Not going to work this time. That's the last time you were in here, what opened the show. There's always that little clip. I drop something at the front and it's you going, pints, pints. Like it's desperate. It's anxious. I bring it. So anyway, these come to us from our friend Ian over at the Whippersnapper Brewing Company.
Love a little Whippersnapper.
Yeah. And so Lever Sage stopped in there last Wednesday afternoon before coming here. He was going to pick up a couple of things and, you know, Ian had to, if you're going over to the studio, I got some stuff for Matt. I got some stuff for Rob. I got some stuff for Ian Mendez that you can take over there.
You can Sherpa over
there. Right. And Lee kind of was like,
what about that for Sage guy? I understand he likes beer,
I'm
too.
The one here paying for stuff, right?
Like, why would you give something to somebody who's waving a debit card in his hand?
Yeah. But Ian has always taken good care of us over here at the show as well. So appreciate these. Appreciate you throwing the cold shoulder to Lee. That's kind of fun. We enjoy that here. We're not drinking the same thing, but they came in the same 4-pack that were in mind. I will mention, if you're curious, this is something that Ian from Whippersnapper thinks that Ian Mendez is going to enjoy the next time he's in. He's got one that I'm keeping, there's some talk that Mendez may be back in here in the next week or two.
Sorry, that's what I'm drinking too?
No, no. You and I, he
like,
just.
I don't want to drink a Mendez beer.
No, I know. The craft version of the Mick Ultra or whatever's going on.
That's it.
So, no, that's not what you and I are having, but he sent one over for Mendez.
Yeah, Ian deserves a beer. He just deserves his own beer.
Yeah, yeah. So, what you are drinking is called the FML, the British IPA. And you've referenced a couple times enjoying an English bitter, enjoying a couple different British style things. I think I could be wrong, and Ian will correct me on this. If I was a better host of this show, I would have touched base with Ian before we started, but I didn't. I think this was in the calendar, the Nita craft beer advent calendar a couple years ago, because he says that in the description of the beer, the FML, I was in a punk rock band in high school, college, when I was younger, whatever it might be. And I wondered what a British punk rock IPA might taste like. And I sort of have vague memories of that. Now, maybe he's tinkered with it since, or maybe I'm completely out to lunch. I think, though, that that might have been in the calendar.
So the FLM stands for?
FML. Stands for fuck my life, usually, is what it stands for.
Okay. I thought it was FLM. I was going to say tastes like fucking magic.
All right. Fucking lovely magic. Yeah, if we're going to fill that out.
I don't even have it right, man. I'm swinging and botching it all over.
And maybe FML stands for something else.
FML. Oh, it's KLM.
Okay.
KLM is going to rock you. Come on. Somebody out there is picking that up. If you're not.
I am not. No.
Early 90s in the bars.
Yeah. Oh, that was every bar, every song. Hey, here's another one by AC/DC with a dance beat behind it. Okay, super.
As long as it's not, you shook me all night long.
How do you feel about Money Talks? Underrated AC/DC banger in my books.
No.
Okay.
And to me, that's off of the Razor's Edge, Thunderstruck. Also, I think Mistress for Christmas off that same album.
Great song.
Yes. Okay. See, so it's just you and I have differing tastes on classic dirt.
Classic dirt.
Yeah.
Good to have our classic dirt, Rob, back in here today.
100%, man.
I've had the first pull on this already, and I am excited. Mine is a little different. This was sent over in that same four-pack. We thank you to our beer mule, Lever Sage, for dropping them here.
We sure do.
This is a Mexican hot chocolate stout coming in at 6%. Yours is also coming in around 6%.
Mexican
hot
chocolate stout.
And you're getting that spice a little bit right off the top. Now, I think you and I both tried a year or two ago the Beyond the Pale Mexican cake stout. And it had a little bit of a cinnamon or spicy kind of back end to it. So this came over. I didn't know this was and we've talked about this 100 times before. One of the things that Whippersnapper does is turn over their collection pretty often, right? Pretty frequently. They got new stuff coming in and out of here. So this is a 6% stout. It's classified, I guess, technically as a dessert stout. I do enjoy a good dessert. And this, it's got that spice right up front. I guess that's what I'm uncomfortable with this sentence. That's what makes it Mexican.
Anything you hear Mexican hot something,
right?
It usually stool comes behind it.
This is terrific, but it is more than anything else I'm getting is that spice right up front, whatever it might be. That's the takeaway from this one. But I absolutely understand, Ian knowing me a little bit, why this is the one he threw in that four-pack going, that's the one for Matt. He's going to try that, and he's going to like it, and he does.
And so this was an English IPA, is that what you said?
British IPA.
British IPA.
Thing, yeah.
Well, it has a bit of it does have a bit of that malty.
It says it's got some, like, stone fruit to it,
It's highly drinkable.
If I'm correct, and I'm far from certain that I am, like on most topics. If it was the same one that was in the calendar, I remember drinking that and going, I see what you're doing here. That this is an IPA, but it's a British punk rock IPA. So you're almost trying to, and this is not going to be a complimentary term, but it's meant to be, dirty it up a little.
Yeah.
Right? Like, kind of take the polish off of it.
Yep.
All of this is meant with love. It's not coming off that way.
No, 100%. But if you're going to do a punk rock sort of beer.
Yeah.
But this is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's highly drinkable. And it's not one of those things where you go, I don't know if I could drink I don't know if I could drink many of those. Hmm. I could.
Yeah. So he's got you pegged pretty well as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Love a good pegging.
I do. love maybe strong. Yeah. But I do feel strongly about it.
Okay.
Just love may not be the emotion.
Okay.
I did not expect that to come up within the first 10 minutes of the show.
On a Tuesday afternoon.
But I feel slightly outed. Just kidding.
So thank you to Ian over at Whippersnapper for sending these over to us. Always good stuff over there. They're right there. Would you call it Nepean, Bell's Corners?
I call it BC, in the heart of BC.
Yeah.
Okay. Not far from me. I'm not in Bell's Corners, but I got to drop by and give him a
little love.
Yep.
You can come with Shrides and Josh and I next time to Simpsons Trivia Night.
Oh, no thanks.
Josh and you can talk about just about anything else.
Yeah. We'll talk about the pronunciation of Barley Mow.
At some point, somebody's going to work that out, right?
Like, yeah. Or give me an elbow in the temple. One or the other. It could be Josh.
On this day, in 1989, in the world of sports / entertainment.
This day... Oh, / entertainment.
Yes.
Is it a WrestleMania?
It is.
Is it WrestleMania 3?
No.
Is it WrestleMania 27?
No. Okay.
Is it WrestleMania 6?
There's 40 of these. This could take a while. It's WrestleMania 5.
Is it at the Pontiac Silverdome?
No, that was WrestleMania 3.
Okay.
Hogan Andre.
All right.
Allegedly 93,000 people.
Is it at the Dome?
No.
Is Ultimate Warrior involved
please,
in
please
this?
Stop. Please stop. The Ultimate Warrior is involved in the co-main event.
All right.
WrestleMania 5, known as the Mega Powers Explode.
The Mega Powers Explode! Here at WrestleMania 5!
Hulk Hogan versus Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh yeah!
For the WWF Championship, built up around the slowly insane turn of Macho Man Randy Savage all year. It's been him and Hogan as the good guys, the Mega Powers, and they're conquering all the WWF's biggest villains, right? But as the year goes on, Macho starts to get just a little bit jealous. And maybe they've got Elizabeth managing them. And maybe after a win, he's looking at Hogan going, hey, that hug, that's a little too long.
Lingering. Right? Yeah. Lingering
yeah.
hugs.
Yeah. Later on, Elizabeth gets hurt outside the ring in one of the matches. Hogan picks her up and takes her away to go get medical attention, leaving Macho to get squashed, right? Like, and he starts to get a little upset about it. And so WrestleMania 5 is the big payoff when Macho finally goes full bad guy, loses to Hulkamania, as everybody did in the 80s. Big show, man. Big show. At Trump Plaza Hotel in Atlantic City. They had back-to-back WrestleManias there, WrestleMania 4 and 5 at the Trump complex in Atlantic City. And they stayed good buddy. I remember sending you a picture after Trump was elected in 2017. Or
the number of people in the picture who had been got a it
was
stunner.
It was Trump and the McMahon family. So it's Vince and Linda McMahon. It's Triple H married to Stephanie McMahon. It's President Trump, and it's Shane McMahon and his wife. And Shane McMahon's wife, I believe her name's Clarissa, the only one in the photograph who had not been stunnered by Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that included the president. The president of the United States has taken a Stone Cold stunner.
Was Pete Rose in that picture?
Pete Rose was not in that photo. He'd been tombstoned multiple times.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. But everybody else had taken the stunner. I bring it up because on Friday's edition of TCA from Sportsnet, Kevin Mickey will be back. It is, Rob, WrestleMania week. And WrestleMania is now so big. It's two nights.
That's
Saturday
stupid.
And Sunday.
What are
night.
You doing?
Making money, man. Making money.
Yeah, all right. And if you're making money, good for you.
Selling out good a 70,000-seat stadium on back-to-back nights. That whole thing, the two-night thing started during COVID. Where we can half the number of performers in the build. There's going to be nobody in the crowd.
Yeah.
We're going to watch wrestling in this empty building. So we'll do it on back-to-back nights. Nobody else got anything else even resembling sports, whether you think this does or not. But we got a whole weekend to ourselves. We'll split it up. We can half the number of people in the building. But they've kept it ever since and gone two nights. And there was a point where WrestleMania in 2019 had something like 14 matches on the card. It went until like 12:30 in the morning. Either shrink that down or, yeah, go to two nights. Like this, it was getting a bit much. So Kevin Mickey from Sportsnet will be here to talk about this year's edition. But I can also report to the good listener that on Thursday morning, Dan Schulman, the voice of your Toronto Bulldogs. Your Toronto Bulldogs.
Yeah. I love the Bulldogs.
The Toronto Blue Jays will be here. By then...
Who just got bulldogged.
They did do that, yeah. We'll have wrapped up a series with the Houston Astros as you and I sit here on Tuesday afternoon. We only have one of those games behind us. It was not impressive. We'll get to that. But Dan Schulman making his annual early season appearance on TCS.
Excellent.
So stick around. Make sure you're
Love Dan
subscribed.
Schulman.
Everybody does. How was your Easter?
You know what? It, pain in my ass, to be honest with you. Never have I been unpopular. That's not entirely
true. Can I weigh in?
That's not entirely true. Just as I'm coming into the studio, I get a text. I'm like, okay, who is this? And it's a FedEx package saying, hey, you know, pay your duty at the border or whatever. I got no fucking package coming.
Is this you falling for a
scam? No. You delete it.
Yeah.
But my TD card, I'm not a TD. I'm like,
yeah.
Canada Post, like all this shit, you block it. The numbers just, I hate that shit. And I don't know who to blame.
And it retroactively ruined my Easter.
I don't know. Yeah, well, just honestly, there's multiples per day.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, no, it's out of control.
It's wicked out of control. And I'm thinking, who do I blame for this?
Right.
Is it online shopping? Hmm. Is it Rogers selling my number? Like what? Who do I blame for this? I'm asking you.
Honestly don't know. Like, there's enough. I don't know the crazy websites you might be visiting on your phone.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Probably off the mic. But you're right. It's out there. I'm not getting multiple per day, but I am probably getting multiple per week that are just like, hey, Candadia Post has your package at, and you're like, this doesn't seem legit, right? Like,
yeah,
you owe $38. Click this link and give us your social insurance number to pay it. And you're like,
CD Post. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, CD Post. That sounds right.
That looks close enough. I should give them my info.
Although there was one the other day, it said it was talking about a package and to ease the trip through customs, click on this link and pay $1.75.
Good deal.
Well, and I'm thinking, if you really want to hoodwink the susceptible, don't show up and say
subscribe to Tall Can Audio.
Yeah, you need to pay $1,387.
No.
Just get
nickel and dime it here and there. Yeah,
$1.75.
Yep.
So your Toll House cookies can come on the hurry, right?
Like, I do that.
It's right there.
Yeah.
And your jeans with elastic waistband because you're a fat ass.
I should do that too. Right behind
I'm not
Nestle Toll
about
House
you.
Cookies.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I like to be relatable.
All right. Anyways. And so if you just want my information, start with a low number.
Yeah.
I'm out of hand, out of shock and fear, deleting the $1,300 one anyways.
Yes.
I'm going to ostrich this MF.
Wait for that.
And wait and just that somebody else will come back at me if it's serious.
If this is real, I'm sure I'll hear about it.
Yeah,
again.
Exactly. Delete. But anyways, man, it's just, it's out of control.
Yeah.
And while not completely ruining my 4-day weekend, and I know you were, but it's so hard. I've taken Friday off next Wednesday and next Friday just to sort of
recover.
Ease into this 3-day work week because it's almost too much, man, to be honest with you.
I have my niece telling me that she has 3 straight 4-day weeks.
Well.
Because I guess we had Good Friday last week and then schools had Easter Monday this week. And next week we got the eclipse and it sounds like the schools went, yeah, we're not going to be responsible for your stupid kids looking straight at the sun. So how about you keep them at home? And I guess to make up for it, they just moved to what was going to be a PA day or PD day, whatever.
Yeah, whatever they call it now.
Yeah. And so you keep your kids at home and you deal with them.
She's not wrong because that's absolutely what it was. And I don't know
I guess I should clarify. She did not editorialize on our stupid kids, but she did suggest that a PA day had been moved and now they had 3 straight 4-day weeks.
Yeah. And really, when you say that, you're not actually blaming the stupid kids. You're blaming the parents of said stupid kids for making them that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bubble wrap. Like, honestly, in the 70s, they're like,
oh boy,
hey, don't look at that and don't get in that panel van. Like, beyond that, come home for dinner. That's it.
I don't know. I can't remember whether it was, you know, there's two different types of eclipses, the solar, the lunar, whatever. But there was one when I was in grade school, somewhere between grade 2 and grade 6, that passed over. And I remember we went to school and they just were like, hey, don't look at that. Right? Yeah. And
don't look at that or you get hairy palms.
If you don't tell your like, kids aren't out there staring at the sun anyway, right? Like,
you tell them not to.
Right.
The chances have gone up by 1,000%. Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do remember being in school for one of them. This, like, we're somewhere between like 1990 and 1995. I don't know how often this shit happens or whatever, but it's not that common. But they obviously just decided to, because it's rolling right up the middle of North America. Like, it's coming straight through. I know the city of
St. Lawrence.
Yeah, the city of Niagara Falls has declared a state of emergency because they're expecting, like, not because they're expecting, like, people to, like, this eclipse to kill people.
Start looting and.
Yeah, but they are expecting way more people in the city. Like, well, why, you know, if it's going to pass right over Niagara, that would be a place to go and it'd be kind of. And they're expecting like 1 million people more than what their city can actually hold.
Well, and what it does is it actually allows the city council to order more burlap sacks and rubber hoses so anybody gets out of hand.
Yeah.
Whack, whack, whack. Back onto the American side.
Stay over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My Easter was all right. Thank you for asking. Went down on not that you ever got to yours.
And mine was just fine. Yeah, okay. Just fine. Scalloped potatoes and ham.
Nice. All right.
And day drinking again.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
We had a gorgeous, huge piece of beef on Saturday.
That's a huge
beef.
Piece of beef.
Friday night, though, game one, Jenny's and Barry Colts. The Jens went something, and you know me, man. Like, when the playoffs roll around, I'll sort of keep an eye on the Jens. I'm not a junior hockey
aficionado.
Expert. Sure. But I knew they'd been on this run and they'd gone like 8-0 or 12-0 down the stretch. And so they finished first in the East, but they're probably not a first place team, right? Like, you got hot at the right time and so you're full value for it. But anybody sort of who walked into the building that night expecting, all right, we're going to smash Barry in 4. That's probably not what was going to happen. That played out Friday night. They ended up losing 3-2. They were down 3-0 going into the third. Get 2 in the third, make it interesting, but it falls apart. The more interesting game is the one I went to on Sunday, game 2. There are 2 reviews in that game, 2 video reviews. One that takes 6.5 minutes, one that takes 10.5 minutes. The 10.5 minute review is because they think Barry has scored with 9 seconds left in the game to tie it. And this is the part that makes me crazy, whether it be in the OHL, the NHL, wherever. Normally, you make the call. No goal. Now you need definitive proof. Right. Goal. Now you need definitive proof. They didn't make a call. And so now they're standing over there just debating it, right? Like, if you'd made a call, now we have something to work off of, and your fans are pissed. And for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, you're sort of putting up with it. You're still sort of optimistic as the home team that, hey, it's going to be okay. As it drags on and on. And at that point, I'm sitting there with my cousin Brandon, and we're like, how many songs is this? Okay, we just heard Photograph by Nickelback, and now we're into what, like, these are 4-minute songs. We've heard 2 of them. How long is this going to go? And they just come back out with no explanation and just say, yeah, it's no goal. And so as a Jens fan, you're happy that it didn't count, but no explanation, no accountability. And I only bring it up today. Cause it was cool to go and check these games out, but on Tuesday afternoon, they announced that the OHL has completely, for the remainder of the playoffs, changed their video review policy. And it's now going to sort of be left far more up to the referees than trying to tie in. Look, the OHL is not the NHL, right? Their infrastructure is different.
What?
The number of people. Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be handed more to the officials on the ice. Here's the iPad. But I've seen this happen, not near as often, but I've seen it happen in the NHL where you don't make a call. It makes it 100 times worse. 100
times. You gotta
make
a call.
You have to make a call on the ice.
Are you getting paid for this?
Am I?
Yeah, no.
I can assure you. Yeah.
Make a call.
Right. And now we have something to review off of. Instead of, if you don't make the call, now you have the referees, the command center, and the video guy in the building. We're all just having a conversation. Well, I think it might be this. I think it might be. It was brutal, man. In the building. To watch as 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes go, the crowd is turning. It's, like I said, 10 seconds left in the third period. You're up by one, and people are now openly booing and getting upset. Like, it was wild to watch. I couldn't believe how long this had taken.
Well, and Oshawa is trash.
Okay.
So people, I mean the city and the people, I don't know, the team is just fine. But
the
who knows?
The city and the people.
Who knows?
We're just wide swipes here.
Yeah, well, a guy from Peterborough can make those.
Yeah. Okay.
Who knows what's going to happen in terms of rioting or people getting unruly?
We're going to knock over that coffee time.
That's exactly right. With that Kaiser that's been wrapped in cellophane since 1982. That's going.
10.5 minutes, man.
That's too long.
It's way too long.
Yeah. It's either in or it's not. And if you make the call, then you have something to go back to.
Yes.
And you go, yeah, okay, I called it in. And it's been so long now, you know, I can't
prove that
it
isn't.
Goal.
Right, right. At least it's done. It's over.
Yeah, and that's where, and we, this debate comes up all the time in whether it's baseball, but mostly hockey, it seems, that if you're going to have video, and people go, well, if you have video, you might as well get it right.
Yeah.
You go, but you didn't. You didn't get it right, or you didn't know what you were getting right because you didn't make a call.
Well, and I guess the closest thing to the NHL, as I cut you off here, as I oft want to do.
Yeah.
The closest thing, I guess, in the NHL you could compare to is, it does it not feel to you like more often than not now, NHL referees on the penalty will defer to, yep, 5 minutes high.
That's
sticking.
A major.
Right.
So that they can.
And now we can
it.
Look at. And in principle, that makes sense to me. Now I can go look at it and get it right. Don't do that. Don't put that on the referee. Like, we're seeing that, we've seen people speculate on it on the linesman on the offside.
Yeah.
Well, if they score, it'll get reviewed and we'll get it right eventually. No, right. You got to do your job here. Like, it feels like.
But most of the offsides are so tight. There's very few where you go, oh, it's crazy.
Right.
The Matthew Shane, yeah. Like where he's 17 feet offside.
Yeah.
Like that virtually never happens.
Yeah, he's already jumping into the glass when he gets the pass.
Yeah, this is exactly. I've already tipped it in. Like, there you go. And so anyways, it's that to me is where you have, if you remember the World Juniors, and I can't remember who Canada was playing, may have been Sweden, where they
forward hit the camera?
No.
Oh.
This year where they where they called a major on a like a board.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, 5 minutes, and then they come back. And not only was it not a five,
it was nothing.
It was zero. And you're like,
yeah, I need you to call the game like you don't have video review. And I don't know how you do that because they know
yeah.
that it can be backed up and figured out. But I need you on the ice to call the game as it. But I have heard, you know, your Friedmans and some of your insiders say they've spoken to linesmen who say, if it's that close, I'll let it go because if I'm wrong,
yeah,
someone else will catch it. No, that's not your job. And the worst part of it, in my opinion, is that puts the onus now on the team. It says to that coach, I have to take the chance. And if I'm wrong, we're going to be shorthanded. That never should have landed in my lap. That should have been taken care of by a linesman who thought, it's probably offside, but I'm going to let it go. Just
okay, so how do you feel then if it's an important game down the stretch here? Tampa's on the Leafs' heels, and
yep.
and they're going, and it's called offside.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken away
yeah.
a goal opportunity.
I'd be annoyed.
And then you don't have the opportunity to review that.
No, because you can't review it the other way. Yeah.
So
actually, we were onside. How about you make their defenseman go stand there, and we'll come at him in full speed.
Yeah, and that's all I'm saying is.
Yeah. I get it.
I would rather they erred on the other side.
Okay.
Let it go, and then we all have a chance to review it.
Yeah.
Whereas you've taken away because you went, yeah, it's offside.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, but it's not.
Right.
And maybe it is a bang bang play, but yep. I'd rather the other way.
No, it's a totally reasonable counter.
I'm full of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally reasonable takes.
Full of a lot of things. We'll come back to the hockey here in a few minutes. I'm curious, you know, we're, as you and I sit here, 5 games into the Major League Baseball season, and by the time the listener hears this, it'll be 6. Jays coming off a split in Tampa Bay and then being no-hit by Blanco of the, if you knew that name before Monday night, good for you, good listener. It's hard to frame the conversation now because that's an incredibly frustrating game, the no-hitter. But we're 5 games in. I think that's far enough. We can make sweeping declarations about how this season's going to go.
Fire Shapiro.
Sure.
Fire Schneider.
Shapiro.
Shatkins and Schneider.
Okay. I like it. Everybody's gone.
And Don Mattingly as offensive coordinator.
You're not keeping him?
You're out!
Shave those sideburns.
Yeah, exactly. I'm frustrated.
Okay.
I'm frustrated because, yeah, so game 1 and 4 where they score 8 and 9 runs combined and they win 9-2, 9-8-2.
8-2, 9-1, something like that, yeah.
And so you're like, yeah, cooking.
Sure.
The other 3 games looked a lot like last year.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at, I'm dialing all the way back to, you know, the collapse against Seattle in fall of 22. Mm-hmm. You're rolling to last year, what was a very frustrating season.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, hey guys, we're going to, you know, we're looking for internal growth. Bounce back seasons from a bunch of guys. We're going to bring in Turner, who's going to be an upgrade on Brandon Belt. And there's going to be bounce backs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at it now 5 games in, and that's small, super small. I totally mm-hmm. get it. But it doesn't alleviate the frustration that maybe we all felt at the end of last year.
That's fair.
Looking for change, and you go, yeah, but it's still super fresh. The frustration of not being able to execute, and that when they mash, they mash. It's like feast or famine, right? This team doesn't win 5-4 games. It's like they lose 5-1 or they win 8-2.
Right. Yeah. I'm having a hard time, and like I said, the no-hitter on Monday night.
For a guy who's making his 8th start, had a career 4.4 ERA, I think.
And I'm the first guy to tell you don't pay attention to spring training. He was dominant in spring training. Like, maybe there's something to this guy. Maybe, but no-hitters come, they're not always aces, right? Like, they're weird things. They kind of come out, and we've seen them where it gets spread over 3 guys, right? Like someone comes out in the 6th.
Detroit.
Someone
only against Toronto, I think.
Yeah, well, that's the funniest thing about it is Toronto had the longest streak in MLB history of not getting no-hit. From 91 to 2011, they had not had anybody throw a no-hitter against them. They've had 4 since 2018. So that's just one of the weird things that happens in baseball. I look at this coming off Monday night. And I was as frustrated as everybody else. I didn't even watch the end of the game, right? Like, I had been flipping around between the Leaf game that night. It's WrestleMania week. I was watching some Monday Night Raw, see what was happening there, and the Jays. And I just tapped out on the Jays. Like, all right, it's not your night, right? Like, whether you get a hit or not, you're down 12 now or whatever. IKF is pitching. I'm probably done here. But I look at it and I go, that's not as upsetting to me because sometimes weird shit just happens and we got 162 of these to play. But I do look at it and I think it's way too soon to make judgments about this lineup 5 games in, but I don't think one of the things I got in my replies at Tall Can Audio on Twitter was it's not 106 or it's not 5 of 162. This is 5 of 167, right? Like this looks, as you've pointed out, a lot like the lineup from last year. And that's not unreasonable because we all went into the offseason thinking this lineup needs to be improved.
You better make some shit happen.
Right. And I don't know, they, as you said, they decided we're going to bank on some internal improvement. We're going to hope that 39-year-old Justin Turner isn't the moment where he falls off a cliff. And those are the bets we're going to make right now.
You know Kirky's going to be better, and you know Varsho is going to be better.
Supposedly Vladdy's going to be better. You know, Springer, as he gets older, is he going to be better? Like, last year he was healthy. He was falling off a little bit. So I'm having a hard time with looking at this because I'm sympathetic to the debate that this looks like last year, but getting no hit happened literally 24 hours after you put up 9.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're sort of taking these wild swings back and forth very early.
Yeah, and I am, you know, once you get past the salt in the wound of being no hit by a guy who, like, honestly just started pitching yesterday. That to me is not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's the soft contact.
Yeah.
It's the, like,
we have seen a lot of stuff that we were seeing last year.
Yeah. And that's all it is it's still too fresh.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating.
But there is some confirmation bias in there, right? If we didn't like last year and we didn't think the offseason was good enough, we come into these first five games going, see, told you. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it still comes down to, for me, even last year, when the team hit, they hit.
Yeah. But it was very much as you said, feast or famine season.
But quite often they didn't.
Yeah.
Or in times when it mattered, it didn't.
Like in the middle of the year, they had that huge run of awful, awful play with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
And towards the final third of the season, it was fine. They were kind of right around 10, 11. But that's already been baked in because baseball is so many games. And for the last 70, we were awful at this. And so it's already sort of baked into your psyche. And so I'm not sure how much, and it's because it's only five games. I'm not sure how much of that we're being reasonable about, like, carrying forward from last year, and how much of it is like, oh, yeah, no, in these five games, I'm seeing things that I don't think have improved. It's hard. It's hard this early.
It is hard. And because the schedule is what it is, that you are starting off with Tampa, Houston, and the Yankees, right?
Yep.
That is a...
So you come out of Tampa 2-2. You're like, I'll take it. Like, fair enough. If we could get home at .500, you'll be happy.
Yeah. And again, a lot of the same issues were happening, right, in terms of not closing out innings, allowing walks to come around, walks with two outs.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, and both those come in, lots of those, lots of, you know, balls, infield hits that really should have, you know, it's one thing to say it got caught in the green shag there at the drop, but it didn't seem to be happening to Tampa. In the games they won, they made fewer errors.
Yep.
This just in. But it's sort of the pendulum swung back and forth.
The defensive team? Oh, no.
Yeah, well, and then when you take out, when they go, yeah, we were an excellent defensive team, and you go, okay, there's no Bo that night, and there's no Donaldson.
Mm-hmm. Donaldson. Chapman.
Chapman, sorry.
Wow, we're going back a little.
Got into my time machine.
Yeah,
there's no Chapman, and so you go, okay, that's what's going to happen. And when you watch Turner, even in the game where he had the four RBI, it was, you see maybe why he's no longer the arm strength in terms of getting that ball over from third. It's a long way over.
Yeah. I wouldn't bank on seeing him a lot at third.
Probably more than you'd like.
I guess. And like, it's hard right now to assess anything that John Schneider is doing as the manager as far as managing that bullpen with Romano still down and Swanson still down.
Yeah.
It's hard to say because, you know, as we mentioned, they lost 8-2, they won 8-2, they won 9. So you're not in any tight games, and so you don't even yet have a good read on what he would do with this bullpen.
Right.
Garcia
and Green.
Right.
What the back end looks like. Right?
Yeah, Monday night, like you said, you get smoked again by Houston. So whether you're winning or losing, you're not in many of these high leverage, you know, you're up by 6 when you bring in Nate Pearson. Like, I guess I'm comfortable with that. Right?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
So I just think of five games in, and I know you're not standing here saying the season's done, it's a disaster.
No.
But it's just hard to get any clear read on almost anything at this point based on both the wins and the losses have come in uncompetitive situations.
Yeah, and I am not throwing in the towel already, but it is one of those things where you go, I'm not sure it fills me with hope.
Yeah.
Is really what it comes down to. Like, what's your feeling? Like, by the time people listen to this episode,
Yeah, we don't know what's happening.
The game
will
have already happened tonight, but Berríos is going. I haven't heard whether Bo is going to play tonight.
Yeah, it's a neck strain of some sort.
What do you think of the notion that perhaps he hurt his neck?
I get a notion from the look in your eye.
Okay, from the motion of the ocean.
What is that? It's Roxette. I get an ocean or I get a notion?
Tell it to my heart.
Listen to your heart.
Listen to your heart.
A notion or an ocean?
No, I have no idea the lyric you're talking about.
Well, what have you always heard of it? You don't know.
No.
It's like their biggest hit ever. All right.
Yeah. All right.
You're not a big Roxette guy. Come on, man.
It's Joyride. You know their biggest hit is Joyride. Come on, man.
You might be right about that, yeah. They're probably headlining Blues Fest this year.
No, man. Next year.
If they were, I'd be there.
I think she died.
Oh. Oh.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Kick Roxette.
Yeah, sorry. It's not going to happen. I think, anyways, we probably should move along from that.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah. The idea that Bo.
There's no reunion coming.
That Bo hurt his neck trying to get out of the way of Caballero as Yiannis.
Caballero!
Yeah, that's what, honestly, every time.
I know you would. I hear you more than I hear anything.
Estados Unidos! I'm a good Mexican bandit. Or bandito.
Bandito.
Yeah, so it's that he hurt his neck trying to get out of the way of Caballero getting pushed. I'm like, that's the most baseball thing ever. That I'm trying to get out of the way of the guy who got pushed.
Still looking over his shoulder, George Springer charging in at him to deliver the spear to the spine. And
I hurt my neck. You're like, oh, man. Can't, you know.
Baseball's a different game, eh?
Sight and hearing's fading, and I just can't get it up.
Got a fucking ingrown fingernail, and you're down for a week.
Anyways, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't want to besmirch another man's. But come on, man.
Love good besmirching.
Yeah, get a little heat on that.
Mm-hmm. How's your pint?
A little dirt. My pint is delicious. And I'm not sure if it's...
It's quantity. It's volume. How's it...
I'm approaching the end.
I also am approaching the end. But I'm with you. This has that spice to it. And it's stuck all the way through it. And that's often what I find is that dissipates. This didn't. And I'm happy about that. So this had some staying power. Big into that. This is the... It's funny, he sent this over a week ago. He may already have turned over his his lineup. I don't know if this is still available over at Whippersnapper.
A week ago.
Yeah.
Come on, he's still going to
probably
have it.
Yeah.
Now, the FML.
Yeah.
And again, you've now thrown this, because we can grow mushrooms in here and it's dark.
All right.
Which is fine.
Can and should.
I like that, yeah.
That changed the show in a big way.
Might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've left the stone fruit in my head because I'm not sure it's to me it has the balance in taste, unlike a lot of hop forward IPAs.
Yeah,
this does have definitely has a much more balanced flavor.
Right,
but yeah, you've planted the stone fruit in my head, and so now I'm like, am I getting plum or something in the? Mm. But I'm not sure. But it does have a nice balanced flavor. Right. I'm very, very satisfied with this selection.
Satisfied.
Thank you, Ian.
Yeah.
And Whippersnapper.
Satisfied with that snapper. We'll take a break here. Be back in a sec. Talk some hockey. Moving on, we're going to talk a little hockey, but first we're going to talk a little about another pint, because, you know, it's Tuesday night, and got to have another pint. It's Wednesday morning for you people, and hope everything's going well for you in the future. What do you got there, man?
I am drinking a, I'm pouring it.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll be drinking it.
It is a oyster stout from Salter Street out of Toronto.
Nice. Okay.
Coming in at 6%.
Yeah.
So oysters. Now, it's interesting that to me it's not that they use the oysters originally, the origins of it, oysters or oyster shells, to help with the clarity of the pint, not necessarily the flavor.
The clarity.
Right.
Like in a stout.
Like it. Yeah, well, the cloudiness. It clears up the cloudiness because the sediment is trapped in the oyster shells.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this fucking guy.
Yeah. So anyways.
Knowing some things.
Yeah. That's why I'm on a podcast, man.
Yeah.
People clamor for
people respect podcasters.
For the information that we bring here.
Yeah. As we move around the NHL, what's on your mind right now? We are into the final couple of weeks of the NHL season. We're coming down to it. A few weeks ago, you and I talked that the East was basically sewn up, and it was a fairly mediocre crop. And now it's not sewn up. It's still a very mediocre crop.
Still mediocre.
But everybody's in it suddenly. Not everybody, but there's still a bit of a race there. You know, floor is yours, man. You haven't been here for a couple of weeks. What's got your eye?
Yeah, it's Detroit's fault, right? They've sort
everything
of,
is.
They're like a wet diaper that needs to be changed, but somehow you're still wearing it.
Laziness.
This is it, right? And you're like, you could be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You've let the Capitals sneak back into this, and Pittsburgh's now five back, and New Jersey is six back. You have the
Islanders
three
are
out
right there,
and it's just,
Buffalo's finally looks to be dead.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
They're like five back,
or not.
No
even.
Games in hand.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, they are out of it, but it's due to mediocrity.
Yeah.
Right? It's people coming back to the pack more than the pack closing.
Yeah. Well, Washington, it's been said to death, has like got a minus 30 goal differential, currently holds a spot as you and I sit here right now. Philly doing their best to fall out.
Trying.
Haven't been able to do it.
Anybody want this?
John Tortorella just freaking out now after every game and melting down all the time.
Well, he's trying to whip the dogs. He's trying to whip the dogs.
How's it going?
Yeah, no, it's like to me, I'll be very surprised.
Let's scratch my captain, see what happens.
Well, yeah. Well, again, hurt. And they're victims of overachieving early in the season.
Yeah.
And sort of.
Nobody else catching up.
Yeah. And 40 games, they were legit for their spot, right? Sure. They have not been since.
And their goalie had to go away for some personal reasons.
I understand that's a thing.
That seems to be a thing.
But it's in the West, the Kings, same thing, right? Yeah, they're trying to give it away. And whereas the Predators, probably the last time I was on, they were not in the playoffs.
Well, Lever's claiming credit for that one.
No.
The U2 cancellation, and then they went like 16-0-2 or whatever from there on.
And I don't know why he's claiming that he should be responsible
for
that.
He says they knew their team better than we did.
I was pretty sure what he said was, and you can roll the tape, was he said, you better know your team, and those guys haven't been around long enough to really know that team.
Exactly what he said.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I was listening.
Yep.
And so you don't get to claim responsibility for that.
Right.
Because you actually, and I've thought about it several times since then, I was going to.
I'm going to punch that guy right in the face.
No.
No. Never.
I've never met the man.
Yeah.
I'll meet him first, and then we can talk about striking him.
If you ever get the chance to meet Rob, know that this is how it works. Reaches out for the handshake. We're going to have a little conversation.
Forearm shiver.
Yeah, and then he's going to rescind into his own little world just for a minute and go, do I want to punch that guy? I might want to punch that guy.
Not today.
Okay.
Not today.
Yeah.
Anyways, no, that's not just Lee. That's all people in general.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, he doesn't get to claim. I know he likes to get on here and stand up. And
about anything that may have coincidentally taken place since he last spoke.
So we talked about this.
I said
and
that.
And I don't. Anyways.
Yeah.
Lee aside.
Yeah.
He does not get to claim
victory on the National Phil Predators.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I swear they were well out of the playoffs
they
the last time I was
were.
On, and then now they went on a quarter of the season without losing.
Yeah.
But the Kings, I to me beat it.
Some might say that they have found what they're looking for. Yeah.
Los Angeles?
Did that. No. The Predators. You too. I still haven't found, but then
right,
I did find.
Yeah, see, all right. I thought you were talking about the Kings.
Fucking
I'm like,
sandbagged me
and,
on this.
And I'm like, I don't even know what that guy's talking about, man. That doesn't make any sense.
When I edit this, it'll all sound way better.
I'm going to edit you right out of this.
I just said that. It'll sound way better.
Yeah, no. No, not at all. But if you look at the matchups right now,
yeah,
this is what I'm thinking right now is I'm dissatisfied with, especially in the East, I find a matchup of, it's, sorry now, I've drawn a blank.
Hmm.
The Boston versus
Tampa.
Help me out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would much rather see the flip there and go, I want to see.
Or would they go all the way down? No, because New York's in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be Boston, Tampa,
Toronto versus
Florida.
Yep.
As we sit here now. Yeah.
And that's what I want to see those flip. If I could have an ideal first round, yeah. I want to see Boston, Toronto, and I want to see Florida, Tampa.
Okay. That's yeah, that makes sense. Like if you're not invested in either team, and I know you have an investment in seeing
Toronto lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as a casual fan, the Boston-Toronto thing has some meat on the bone. Tampa-Florida obviously has meat on the bone, right? Like there's things to be.
Whereas, I don't feel a lot of juice around the Tampa-Boston series. Like to me, that may be okay to watch. I'm not suggesting.
Well, even as a Toronto fan, whether we'll get smashed or hang around, like I Toronto-Florida, even though they're the team that eliminated us last year.
In five games.
Yeah, thank you. Watched that matchup on Monday, and I thought Toronto played them really tough, really well. But it's less. I'm supposed to have more venom there, right, or more hatred there for that team that eliminated us last year. And you're kind of like, I guess.
I've seen Florida at times this year. Like they rolled in early in the season into Ottawa and smashed Ottawa.
Yeah,
and that's fine. We can insert joke here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've seen other games where it's been competitive.
Mm-hmm.
That Florida team is Jekyll and Hyde, right? Like a
little bit, yeah.
Watching the game last night.
Well, part of that's going to be Sergei Bobrovsky's Jekyll and Hyde.
Right? Which goalie Bob are we going to see? But yeah, watching part of that game last night, I clicked it off and it was 5-1 Toronto.
Yeah.
And you're like, that Florida team looks like it's got lots of holes.
It looked pretty beatable.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, that to me, if I'm Toronto, I am not in any way concerned with that.
Intimidate me.
And you go,
you may win, you may lose, but you don't feel like you're totally outclassed.
Right, and you need the guys who are playing like absolute hounds last year, right? They were always on it,
mm-hmm.
always at your heels, always on you.
Yep.
And if that team can't, it's hard to play that way. And
well, especially when you've been the favorite all year, you lose a little of that, right? Like if you have been deemed to be suddenly this division leader, this league leader, a favorite all of a sudden, like Matthew Tkachuk doesn't look quite like what he looked like. Sasha Barkov's always great, but Carter Verhaeghe, who had that crazy breakout season, is now, he's not back to being AHL Carter Verhaeghe, but he's not breakout Carter Verhaeghe anymore.
Are we going to get 2 point a night Montador?
Right. Probably not. Right. Or Montour.
I want Montador.
Okay. That's a terrible trade.
Yeah, sorry about that. Brantford's own.
Pierre Dorion sitting across the table here.
Like, yeah.
I'll trade you this delicious doorstop for your terrible Danish.
And then I'll tell you it's my proudest day ever.
Yeah. I did want to circle back briefly to Detroit because I look at them and I'm curious.
On the outside looking in right now.
Yeah. And we all had the same conversation. Us, every other show, every other podcast.
Buffalo, Ottawa, Detroit.
Right.
Yeah.
And so heading into March, Detroit was on pace for 98 points. In March, they go 3-9-2 and enter April on pace for 88 points. That's a significant departure from the pace you were on. They were going to cruise into one of those wild card spots. Now they're going to be life and death right down the stretch. And the complicating factor for them is all those other teams that are fighting are out of that other division that could just as easily grab that third playoff spot or your wild. You only have one to grab. You can only get
it's only the wild card.
Yeah. So this is going to be tough for them. If they miss, I don't know if you want to measure it against Buffalo and Ottawa, or if you have to measure it against yourself and the expectations you had. If they happen to miss the playoffs, was this a successful year for Detroit?
No.
Okay.
No, it is. And it's, and you're right. Everybody at the beginning of the season looked at those three teams and went, yeah, they're all sort of
This pack is coming.
Same-ish in the evolution.
Yeah.
And then as you've suggested, head and shoulders statistically or standings-wise,
yeah,
Detroit's been the thing. But if you were to somebody asked the question last week, and I'm like, yeah, I still don't feel like Detroit is the best setup moving forward of those three teams.
No, I do agree with that. I don't think moving long term, because they went out and they brought in some
Sherratt
and Petrie and you know, I don't know, Confer. Like, he's not going to fall off a cliff.
JT Confer, yeah. Everyone loves him.
Sure, but like, is that? That's not your young pieces graduating and pushing you forward. That's artificially inflating for now. Now, if you'd have got in as the first wild card or whatever, even as the second wild, like, the league is better when Detroit is good.
Right. But I just don't feel like that team is.
So it is simple. I'm cutting you off, but is it as simple as if they finish 1 point out of the playoffs, that's a failure of a season. If they grab the second wild card, it's a successful season.
Yeah.
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 I think I agree, but that's crazy unfair, right?
Yeah. But they were a team that was in the 80s last year.
Yeah.
And so if you are in the playoffs or the playoff picture for 75% of the season, and then you regress.
They did have a rough month injury-wise.
You regress back to an 80-point team in the last quarter of the season. That's a failure.
Yeah. You couldn't hold it.
You couldn't hold it. Now
they're also getting bottom five goaltending.
Yeah, but honestly, they keep flipping guys out, flipping guys in, like trading for Nedeljkovic. They just, like, it's Lions there. I have no idea.
Well, Nedeljkovic is in Pittsburgh.
Right, but they...
Alex Lyon is probably the guy you're thinking of.
No.
Oh.
2 years ago, they brought Nedeljkovic, and then they flipped him out, and they brought in Lyon.
That's right.
And so it's this...
Reimer kicking around there.
Vili Huso from St. Louis. So Yzerman is really throwing a lot of things at the wall.
Yeah.
And I know they still have Edvidsson, the Swedish defenseman down there, who's sort of going to be that kind of...
Supposedly.
Hedman light.
Yeah.
Light.
Like, yep.
Really kind of light.
Really
but,
light.
But still, big guy. Maybe Timothy Owen Logan Power right. light.
Yeah.
Maybe in that range.
Sure.
Man,
we're bailing on Owen Power fast, eh?
No, Owen Power light.
Oh, I see. Sorry, okay.
No, I still like Owen Power. I'd take that guy.
I had moved the brackets, right? That Owen Power closed bracket, like, yeah. As opposed to Noah.
Yeah. No, Simon Edmondson as well. So anyways, I'd still think that they don't have, I got a lot of time for Cider.
Yeah.
Right? And then Raymond, I like him too.
Yeah.
And
Dylan Larkin, is he a cup-winning number one center? No, I don't think he is. But is he a capable number one center? Yeah. And he's been beat up too.
Yeah. I don't think Larkin...
Patrick Kane's been like a point a game. I did not see that coming. Like,
he's played four games.
It's not quite accurate, but...
But it seems like it, doesn't it?
A little bit.
In and out. If you can play...
Well, he's played 30-odd games
now
down the back half.
If you can play 72 games... And you're a point-a-game guy? I got time for that?
For me, he's been way better than I thought he'd be coming off that. Like, he's been more productive.
Would you sign him next year off of what you saw this year?
Well, that's a fairly open-ended question. Like, if you were Detroit?
No, if you're Toronto.
For how much? Like, we may not have the option.
all right.
If he wanted to come to Toronto for
$3.5 million now? He's making $4 million, I think,
somewhere. Yeah, if he wanted to come to Toronto on a 1 year, no risk.
Yeah. Okay. So no is what you're saying.
Well, it's just, you already have those guys in Toronto. Marner and Nylander taking those spots. So no, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
If I was Detroit, I might.
And that's all I'm saying is it was going to be a great story, right? You're going to reunite.
But not always, right? We talked about it. People coming off that surgery don't always succeed.
I know. But it was going to be a great story that he was going to come in. He signed in Detroit for less.
Yeah.
That he was going to help put them over. Reunite he and DeBrincat, and they were going to have that magic that they had in Chicago. And
yeah, that part hasn't quite played out.
No, it hasn't. And so,
but you're not giving him a tip of the cap at all coming off
zero.
Of, wow. Okay. Is he wearing a little of that DeBrincat stink that still is pestering around Ottawa here?
No, it's the Shane Bower stink where he and James on draft day were like,
guy looks like an asshole.
Guy looks like a douchebag.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Behalf of every Buffalo cabbie, too. Yeah. Fuck you, Patrick Kane.
It's been said.
Yes. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times.
When I look at Detroit, yeah, I just, you had that whole run all year long where, because not only did we have them in that Buffalo-Ottawa conversation, we had them at the bottom of it. They're probably a step behind Buffalo and Ottawa.
I didn't like what Yzerman was doing. It seemed to be quite...
I still don't think I do. I don't understand what some of the signings he's made are going to pan out to be long term and
some
how that helps you.
Some of the contracts are not going to age well.
Right. And so when you look at it and you see that they were in that playoff spot all the way through, at times not just in a wild card, like for the whole first half, I think they were in one of the division spots. But it takes some things or some time to sort them.
But well entrenched in the wild card spot.
You arrive on March 1st, you go fall right out of it. You can blame some injuries. I don't think that's an unreasonable thing to say. But I just thought it was an interesting debate. When they get to the end of the season, if 91 points gets them in and 90 gets them out, is it that simple? Like if they got in, you go, yeah, well, good for them. That's them taking that step forward. If they miss by 1 point, like, fucking losers, you choked at the end.
If you're up by 4 goals in a game and then you lose it, mm-hmm. you give up that 4-goal lead,
yeah.
do you feel good about the 4-goal lead you had?
No.
No, you feel bad.
Yeah.
You feel shame.
You really do, man.
I'm always feeling very sad.
Yeah, man. So to me, we're like, it's in my hands. Okay. I have this. Yeah. And then at the end, I fumbled it away.
All right.
Leon Lett style. I'm feeling bad.
Are you happier with a more steady Ottawa season?
Oh.
Lacked the cliff at the end.
Yeah. And you know what?
Ottawa's played pretty well recently. Well, maybe we should buy in. Maybe it's...
They're going for 6 straight tonight.
Yeah.
So we'll know when you hear this tomorrow that they've equaled...
They've turned it around. This is what we should expect next year.
That they haven't done in 7 straight years.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is... There's 2 things on this.
Reality sucks.
I want to see wins.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn whether we finish in 6th in the draft lottery or 7th or, heaven forbid, 8th. To me, that doesn't matter.
Why would heaven forbid that?
Yeah. Well, we're going to slide anyways. Yeah. So if we finish 6th, we're going to go to 8 anyways.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. So I want to see wins.
Yeah.
I want to see better play. And if the less amount of losing you can have around your guys, the better. The thing I will say, and I'm with you, I don't care about, this doesn't mean anything to me about the start of next year. What you do notice, and what I do take a slight bit of hope from, is unlike last year or year before, where you're winning games at the end, but you have your goalie making 47 saves.
Right.
That has not happened.
Nope.
There has been some display of better hockey. It doesn't mean it's going to transfer. I am not meaning to say that. There hasn't been as many goalie wins that we've seen in past years, right? Where the goalie is stood on the head and you get a goal late and you move ahead, right? The number of sort of where your goalie is making 28 to 34 saves.
Right.
Way more, right? And so there needs to be some major surgery to this team still before I have any faith in what's going to happen next year. So I don't, this isn't going, yeah, man, bring it on. Let's start next
October. Good to go.
No, but I do want to see wins if I'm going to watch these games.
Yeah.
I would much rather see it. And they're well entrenched in that sort of 6 through 8 spot in the draft lottery. So
to me, the most fascinating part is, are they going to finish ahead of Montreal?
They will.
Okay.
Well, Montreal's not good. The fact that they've been behind Montreal for most of the season is.
Several teams are not good.
Yeah, it's true, Matt. It's true. It's well, and Ottawa. Somebody, I was listening to your boy Creech.
Yeah.
On the post game after they had beaten New Jersey and then they beat Buffalo, and somebody tweeted in and said, "These wins are nice and all, but we're beating these shitbirds in front of us in the standings. It makes me sad that we're
in front of us.
That we're where we are." Yeah. Like you go, like, these teams that look not good, like. New Jersey has not looked great. The one game they looked halfway decent.
Are they the most disappointing team this season?
Goaltending, man, and that's on Fitzgerald, man. You waited way too long to make any kind of move.
You and I don't do preseason predictions anymore. Would you have had New Jersey making the playoffs?
No.
No.
Yeah, of course I would have. Yeah, okay. Of course, but I'm going to tell you now on April 2nd,
100%.
I would not have
I might have had them. If you'd have said to me...
Well, you had Pittsburgh winning the division, so let's
Well, allow me to give another team winning the division here. If you'd have said to me, what's more likely, New Jersey wins the division or misses the playoffs, I'll take wins the division.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Hasn't worked out.
No, but that is the thing. They were a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they were a top three. They were not a wild card team.
Yeah.
Carolina, the Rangers, and probably Carolina, New Jersey, Rangers is probably how I saw that.
In that order, yeah.
I probably saw that working out that way.
Okay.
As opposed to, and Washington maybe finishing last in the division.
Looking for that big Columbus step forward finally. I'm with you, man. I thought Washington was done. And their numbers say they should be done, and yet no one will take it.
Nobody needs draft picks more than those guys.
Let's wrap up here quickly. I wanted to ask you about what's going on this week. We're about to enter the Women's World Hockey Championships, which means a break for the PWHL. They've actually been off for a week as you and I sit here and talk about it. The last PWHL games were last Monday, and... this is not uncommon. If you're a soccer fan, like if you're somebody who watches sports, so even European hockey, they take breaks for the Spangler, for they called the Champions League for a while. I have no idea if that's even still a thing. But certainly in soccer and other sports.
Yeah, your FA Cup.
Yeah, they take a break to go and play for your national team.
Yeah.
We don't see that very often in hockey. And when we do, it's almost... with a pinch of the nose and a look away. Like if you allow the NHLers to go to the Olympics, it's like, here's 36 hours before your first game. You can all fly halfway around the world now if you want to. I'm looking at this.
But we're going to put you on a charter.
Sure. Yeah. Probably not that big. Never mind that it's the other side of the world you're going to land in. And anyway, it sounds like we're going to come at this from a slightly different perspective. But when you look at what the PWHL is doing, I'm sure they saw this coming based on the calendar, right? Based on the fact that Women's Worlds is always sort of in mid-April, Men's Worlds is always in mid-May. And so when the PWHL gets back from Women's World Hockey Championships, each team has a couple have four games left, and then you're right into the playoffs. And they have allowed a break. Like I said, they've been off for a week, and the tournament starts on Wednesday. So it was sort of get where you need to go. Go have some practices. Go have a bit of a training camp. I'm sure, given the fact that all the PWHL's top players are coming from a place of being national team stars and members, this would have been part of the CBA that they worked out. But is this going to be sustainable long term to have Women's Worlds at this point in the calendar, to have this big of a break on either side? Do you think it's good or bad for the league? Like, I think there's an argument to be made that coming back with so few regular season games after watching Worlds could be good, right? Like, you just watched all these players play for your country, and now playoffs are about to start. I think there's another argument to be made that says it diminishes your season a little bit. That's like, by the way, you got these couple of games left that, you know, are sort of important. But I know other sports fans, people who watch sports from other parts of the world, are going, yeah, this is just part of how it works. It is a little new to hockey fans.
Yeah. And so due to the haste with which this season, this inaugural PWHL season was thrown together.
Yeah.
I say thrown together. It was really thrown together in a hurry.
It had to be.
And if they wanted to catch that lightning in a bottle and get it going, it had to be done.
Yeah.
And so you had the existing world schedule already set up, host cities, beautiful Albany or Utica? We're in Utica.
Yeah, somewhere in upstate New York.
God damn, man. anyways, so that's not ideal.
No.
But
although geographically, it helps.
Geographically, it's ideal.
Yeah. We don't have to give you time to go
Boston,
to
Montreal,
another.
Toronto, Ottawa, New York, five of the six teams in an Avis rental car. Totally good.
Yes.
Once this league, you know, becomes more grounded and established, and you, especially when if they expand, and two more teams means you are absolutely bringing in more European
100%.
Players. there's no way that the league, like the NHL saying, yeah, you can start your Worlds after our regular season. No problems, right? The Worlds, men's Worlds are always right at the end of the regular season.
Yeah.
And so that is where you'll see it. Maybe not staggered somewhat, right? You don't want the women's and the men's at the same time.
That's going to be the problem, yes.
It's but you will see once this league gets more established, you will not see this happen again.
Would you consider going the other way, coming earlier? Like, I just don't like that it's so close to your playoffs.
Sorry, you going like, what earlier?
World, women's Worlds moves up a month to maybe mid-March, late February. And in an Olympic year, you just don't have a World Championships or something like that. Because I can't see them being able to push back women's Worlds because it's not just... You know, your broadcasters and your what it's your officials are often the same people. Like your IIHF staff are tied up. Like you can't get too close to men's Worlds. So you either gotta stick permanently what they did there for a couple years in like August, which I don't think anybody loves. Could you go into late February, early March, which allows the PWHL to have their season, and then you come back and at least you have 3 weeks or a month after Women's Worlds to do
and,
it.
And what you bring up an excellent point there, which is Men's Worlds is a month.
Like yeah, it's several weeks long.
It's a chew, yeah. Right? Like it goes on and on and on.
Yeah, you got two
on.
Divisions of like 12 teams each or 18, yeah. Whatever it
and
is.
And so it is worth noting that it's not like you can just, one's an 8-day tournament and you slap it in and you can just sort of, you can roll them off of each other.
Right.
If one's going to be 3+ weeks long, which yeah. Honestly, man, they are forever.
It's too long.
And so.
Yeah, we're into like, it's almost always the gold medal games, almost always on Victoria Day weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are, you get guys who are eliminated in the first round of
after
playoffs.
After round one, yeah.
Sometimes, you know.
Ovechkin's on Putin's private jet.
Exactly. Well, they don't have to worry about that because I don't believe
you're
they're
not playing. Invited.
Yeah. So. I think you'll see it massaged in some way to push back. It's not ideal. You look at Ottawa. Ottawa had great momentum in the PWHL, and for them, the trades that you were poo-pooing seem to have worked out quite well.
I liked one. I didn't like the other.
Okay. Anyways, they would
have... Who comes in here wants to reframe my arguments for me?
Everybody's arguments. It doesn't matter who it is. It is, you know, they would have liked to have rolled through.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like next year, especially next year not being an Olympic year. I was going to say, especially next year being an Olympic year.
Well, because we're hearing about this already. It's funny, Bill Guerin, who's GMing for Team USA, headed into... whatever they're calling it.
The Four Nations.
Face-off, yeah. Doug Armstrong echoing the same
Nicolas
thing.
Is Nicolas Cage going
to
be in that?
You would be well-served to go to Worlds this year, is sort of the...
Yeah, well, like Hockey Canada has done. When there is...
An
Olympics coming, they're like, hey...
We're going to have a couple spots at the bottom end of the forward and defense lineup. How about you go over there and...
Well, this is it. And if you're going to have Giroux or Crosby show up over there and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying Giroux is playing for Team Canada, but yeah.
He will be available.
Suggesting that it is one of those things where you go, if you are Jake Sanderson for the Americans, right? And you go, you're done in the middle of April.
Yeah.
You'd look good in the red, white, and blue at Worlds.
We should take another look at that because that's an interesting name. The Americans are going to be very good.
Yes, they are. I just meant at Worlds.
I understand what you're saying. I wonder, I'd have to actually go and look at their blue line and go, I wonder if that guy has a shot, right? I think
by the time 2026 rolls around, he'll absolutely have a chance.
So the Four Nations Cup next year is a bit more of a coin flip, but by 2020, I would agree with that. I wonder if next year's Four Nations Cup, yeah, you got to show us you deserve it, or... Yeah, you know what? This is a little less prestigious. Get in there. Show something. Like, yeah, that's an interesting...
If you get over there, if you go to Worlds this year...
Yeah, and he should. Like, that's the type of player at 22, whatever he is.
Yeah, put on a smoke show.
Get it done.
And you open a bunch of eyes. Yeah. Not that you need to for Team USA, because he's in...
You think Connor Bedard's got to go? That'd be fun, eh? Crosby, Bedard... Like, Crosby doesn't have to go. I won't be surprised if Crosby goes.
Right, but if you're a Bedard,
yeah.
Miss a big chunk with a broken jaw...
Yeah.
You get over there. Yeah. It's a great chance as a young guy to go over and do that.
We saw Taves do it early on. We saw Owen Power do it before he was like, yeah. No reason that guy shouldn't do it.
No. And so I will be interested to see these next couple of years, what happens with those teams. But
I bet you both Canada and USA have pretty good looking teams at Worlds this year.
Knowing that's a good looking team.
Yeah. That next year is that Four Nations face off and the year after is an Olympics. Yeah. The both management teams seem to be suggesting.
The carriage is there.
Get going, right? Yeah.
Get going. I agree. I only had one. I sent you the thing about Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Monday
and,
night.
And I don't have
LSU, Iowa.
I don't have a pile on it, but it's. I watched the full third quarter.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Which is a half a quarter more than I watched of the men's.
Yeah.
Right. I watched a little Purdue. And that half a quarter of the men's tournament is a full half a quarter more than I've watched of the Raptors the entire season. So it's worth noting as a non-basketball fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tuned in to watch that LSU-Iowa rematch of last year's NCAA women's final. And so I found it intriguing, man, to watch.
Angel Reeves versus Caitlin Clark, the rematch, everything about that. Yeah, it was... Did you happen to see? You probably didn't. Bobby Ryan was trending on Twitter, which is never a good sign. If you're a retired player and it means you've said something.
Did it have to do with
stupid.
Him commenting on DJ Smith's training camps?
It did not. Okay. So Megan Chaika, who covers the NHL for a few different platforms, but is fairly well respected at this point, all she tweets out on Monday night, because I'll be honest with you, dude, I'm trying to get my WrestleMania news. It's Monday Night Raw, right? Yeah, like, it's Leafs and it's Blue Jays. There's a lot going on. I'm scrolling through my Twitter and everyone is talking about LSU, Iowa. And so, to me, that's not my jam. I'm like,
it's not my jam either.
I need a little CM Punk tweet here somewhere. Like, I got to find something. And it's not out there. But clearly, this is the sports event of the night. So, I checked out a little bit of it as well. But on Tuesday afternoon, Bobby Ryan is trending because he takes a run at Megan Chaika, who all she tweets out is just like, this LSU-Iowa game is fantastic. And he's like, name seven players. And then, not one, not two, not five. Name seven players first and last. Go. Right? Like that typical show me you're a real fan.
I am not.
No, neither am I.
I know two.
But I scrolled through all of it. You don't stop and tell everyone else you're not a real fan either. So she, to her credit, underneath is like, oh, Bobby, you would love this, right? Like, and the next matchup is going to be UConn versus Caitlin Clark. It's like she's trying to keep it positive, right? Like he goes, I'm waiting seven names or whatever. And you're like, and she can do it because she's.
Yeah.
So she does. She mentions a bunch of people and she goes, I can mention more, right? Like I do enjoy basketball. And he spent all day on Tuesday arguing with everyone who showed up in his mentions. He goes, so what? Can you name the seven players? And can you? And honestly, man, how many events have you and I watched where there's games where you and I are watched all of World Juniors. And during the gold medal game, you shut the TV off on me and said, name first and last seven guys off the top of your head right now. Go. There's been years where I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So it was a weird moment.
It was weird.
To take a run at my whole Twitter timeline is tweeting about it. It's also a little weird. You chose a woman to take that run at. That was odd to me, man. And
yeah. Because I am absolutely the person he's talking about.
So am I.
And I could only name two of them.
I know Caitlin Clark. And I know Angel.
And I spent part of the day calling her Caitlin Smith. Okay. So
the two most generic names we have in our language.
I'm Brown.
Yeah, okay, fair. Yeah.
So, but I'm just
Robinson.
Like, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, love you, buddy Robinson. Yeah. Here's to you, buddy.
I am tuning in only because the hype is there, right?
Yeah.
And so, and I watched her chucking up threes from everywhere.
Yes.
Like big old rainbows. and it's awesome. It was a spectacle.
Yeah.
And
you and I, not big basketball guys.
I hate basketball.
But actually, I understand this is the story of sports tonight. This is what everybody's watching tonight. Right. This is what everyone will be watching tomorrow. I should take a look. Am I going to stay for minute one to minute What in the NCAA was it 40? right, like they do some
25
weird
25 to 37.
Right, I'll check in, but it's weird to stop and take a run at other people who are liking it right now.
Yeah, well, and to me, it is the thing is like this is awesome.
Yeah,
and yeah, you just yeah, it is.
Well, she's the biggest name in March Madness this year. Like, there's been years where, obviously, on the men's side, there's huge names. And you know that guy's going to be the number one pick this year in the NBA, whatever. There is nobody bigger this year in March Madness than Caitlin Clark. That's the story. That's right. The whole thing. And she's going to play UConn next. And I got to tell you, man, I am currently sitting first place in the She's Got Game NCAA Women's March Madness pool.
What's the winning prize?
Presumably bragging rights.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good for you, Matt.
Yep.
And who do you have? Iowa, UConn?
UConn. I got UConn winning it all.
Okay. Well, yeah. I think you're probably going to be...
I'm currently at a 98.2% correct pick rate in the...
Wow. How are you doing on the men's side?
Yeah, not as good. I think I'm third and fourth. The only other name in that I'm in Matt Scooby's media pool there, whatever. I know I'm well ahead of JR. That's all I'm keeping an eye on. I got a couple of texts going to good old JR.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Just in closing.
Yeah.
Did you listen to that podcast, the Pornhub Empire?
No, it sounds like I should.
On,
I really like to more watch.
CBC Understood, the Pornhub Empire.
Yeah, which is based in Montreal.
Yeah.
Pornhub, which
was.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore.
No. Now it's like the Cayman Islands or something.
Well, no, it's now an Ottawa ownership group.
Oh, cool. Is it, what's his name, who just bought the sense? Just buying up all the legal businesses?
I was waiting for it to be
the
Oseg.
Andlauer.
And it wasn't, but it is a great, anyways.
The big Oseg.
It is. Exactly. Good for you, Matt. Look at that.
Look at that guy.
Now I'm with you there. You totally got that one. Anyways, worth a listen. I'm not sure there's a whole bunch. It's well done though. It's sort of 4 half-hour episodes.
Yeah.
CBC Understood, Pornhub Empire.
Okay.
It's worth a listen, and we can...
We'll circle back to it.
Yep. You got it.
That's where we'll wrap this one up. Don't forget, Thursday morning, Dan Shulman, the voice here, Toronto Blue Jays, will be here Friday. Kevin Mickey, it's WrestleMania week. We'll talk about that. And sitting in Rob's spot on Monday, Chris Hoffley back on the podcast.
He's going to bring some Flora Hall.
I'm hoping something like that's going to go down. Hey, they announced a Red Black's 10th anniversary beer. I don't know if it's ready yet, but I told him, you're not...
Well,
you're
big on the IPAs too, right?
Yeah.
Hoff is going to come in here with...
Well, that's Flora Hall. Yeah. Sorry, I meant the team itself.
Oh, okay.
It has, because this is the 10th anniversary of the Red Blacks, so they have a brew being prepared for all their...
Who's doing it?
I'm not sure. That's why I said, Hoff, get on it, man.
And you know what? I thought I heard about it. But he's coming in here with some kind of IPA in the 6.5 range. He likes things.
Well, then he'll be welcome.
Yeah, no, as for sure. Don't bring anything less than 6% because... We don't go in for that.
That's the level of effort you and I bring on this show. About 6% week to week. So that's where we'll wrap this one up. Lots of good stuff to come. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks again to Ian from Whippersnapper.
Good
Appreciate
stuff, man.
The love.
Good stuff. And if you got any more of that that Mexican
send
hot
it over with Lee.
We'll send our messenger boy. Go pick it up. That's episode 1286. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Yo, get a Warriors and drinking it down. Raise your voices and stare at this town. We're the champions of craft beer and sport. Tall can audio, we hold.